More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, don't trip my temper. Does somebody in your life have a short fuse and or a big temper? Well, or maybe it's you. We're going to help you find grace-filled ways to manage their anger and angry people. 877-573-7825.
Marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN.
We can do this.
Yeah. Woo. Thank heavens this isn't live. Just take it all out in the editing. 3, 2, 1. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. even our engineers cooperating with that.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Whew. Well, today's show titled, Don't Trip My Temper. We're talking about anger. You know, does somebody in your life have a short fuse or a big temper? You know, maybe it's you. However you're being affected, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to manage anger and angry people. The number is 877-573-7825.
So we're asking you today, does someone in your life have a temper that keeps you walking on eggshells? Maybe it's your spouse, that teenager, a parent, or a coworker. And you never quite know what's going to set them off. Do you keep having the same blow-up over and over again and wish you could finally break that cycle? Or maybe you're the one with the short fuse, and you're tired of saying and doing things in the heat of the moment you end up regretting later. Maybe you're angry about something that really is unjust, and you don't know how to speak up without blowing up. Whatever the situation, let us help you find grace-filled ways to handle your own anger and the angry people in your life.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We do have a complicated relationship with anger, I think, as Christians in particular. But I do think this is something that we all wrestle with in mm-hmm. one way or another. You know, either we've all had times where, you know, we say or do things impulsively out of anger, out of hurt, that we regret later. We all have people in our life that we feel like we've got to tiptoe around for some reason because we don't want to set them off, or they tend to use their anger as a, as a way of, quote-unquote, motivating the people around them.
Which is, it's really just manipulation yeah. of the people around them, including a lot of our listeners know that feeling. And I think when we use the word anger, a lot of folks kind of go to yelling, screaming, even physical assault as a definition of anger. But often angry people don't necessarily yell or scream. They argue you to death. You know, they manipulate you. They use their words against you. They run you down in some way.
Sometimes they don't say anything. Sometimes they just go quiet.
They just go quiet as a way of manipulating you till you feel so uncomfortable, you're suddenly the one who's apologizing for everything. So when we begin this show on anger, whether it's yours or somebody else's, we have to remember that anger comes in all different spectrums and levels. And we don't want to just say, oh, well, this person in my life isn't really angry. I'm not even really angry. I just need people to see my point of view. They're just an emotional person.
Because the last thing you said about I just want them to see my point of view, one of the unhealthy ways of expressing anger that we talk about at CatholicCounselors.com right. with our clients is what we call the contemptuous expert persona.
Yes.
You know, that's where people think, well, I'm perfectly calm. I'm just helpfully explaining why your mother dropped you on your head when you were a baby, and that's the problem. You really should have that looked at. Why are you getting upset with me? You know, it's the sort of very, I'm calm.
I'm collected. Above
I'm anger. Being helpful. I'm just explaining to you what's
why
wrong
you're
and
an
what
idiot.
You should do it. Yeah, yeah.
And it's really abusive. It really can, because, I mean, you're saying it in this very, you know, overt way where anybody can go, well, of course I wouldn't fall for that. But that person who's that contemptuous expert really usually does it in a way that eats away at our self-esteem, at our courage, at our actual feeling like we could ever be right, little by little by little. And if we try to combat that in some way, often we're blamed for being the ones who lose our temper.
So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. The show's titled Don't Trip My Temper. We're talking about those people in your life who have a short fuse and a big temper. Could be you. Could be somebody else. Either way, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to manage anger and angry people. 877-573-7825.
And, of course, overall, we're talking about when adults or somebody close to adulthood and an adult kind of fall into these patterns. But we've been seeing a lot on Catholic Home, the Catholic HOM app, where I'm seeing a lot of parents, especially as we move through the summer season into the school season, mm-hmm. who are really being squashed and almost terrified by the anger of small children they are raising. So if you're thinking...
Big feelings
that make us feel so small and out of control as adults. So whether you're dealing with anger in an adult way, or you're saying, how in the world do I feel younger than this little kid when they start losing it on me? And I don't know what to do about it. Wherever you are, we're here for you today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, it's reasonable to ask, how could some theology possibly help me deal with anger or angry people? It actually has a lot to do with that, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a couple of huge questions. Basically, he wanted to know, what would it mean for the Catholic person to really thrive? You know, what is the Catholic vision for having the kind of healthy, holy relationships that really help us flourish? And his answer to those questions became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body lets us know that our bodies, including our emotions, were designed by God to work for our good and the good of others. And that includes feelings like anger. A lot of Christians assume that being angry is a sin. So we have to stuff it down or apologize for it. But anger itself is not the problem.
No, in fact, St. John Chrysostom said that the person who isn't angry when he has good reason to be actually commits the sin of sloth. Because it just enables, not being upset about things that we should be upset about, enables those things to continue. God meant anger to be a gift that helps us recognize when things aren't as they should be. I mean, it's like a smoke alarm, right? Anger points to a potential injustice and gives us the energy to set it right. Whether the anger is holy or sinful isn't about the fact that we feel it. It's about what we do with it.
Well, exactly. So when that anger smoke alarm goes off, it's not meant to motivate us to grab a can of gas and make the fire bigger. It's meant to motivate us to look around and see what might be going on and what we might need to do about it. In a similar way, anger isn't a call to arms. It's a call to prayer. The first thing we do when we feel angry should be to bring it to God first and ask him to help us see what the problem could actually be and what, if anything, he, God, wants us to do about it.
Yeah, because when we just let our anger lead without bringing it to God first, it can cause us to respond to problems in ways that are disproportionate, inappropriate, and unproductive. Those now, three things are really important.
Listen to those three things for a minute and see if somebody pops up in your mind's eye. So say those three again.
Yeah, when our anger is disproportionate, inappropriate, or unproductive, we just make the fire bigger, and that's the sin of wrath. But when we do what Lisa was just describing, bring our anger to God and ask Him to teach us how to respond to it, that lets us respond to problems in ways that are proportionate, appropriate, and productive. And that's righteous anger that enables us to put the fire out and rebuild in healthy ways. So again, being angry isn't the problem. The problem is whether we are bringing our anger to God and asking Him to teach us what to do with it. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're talking about anger on our show today, titled Don't Trip My Temper. Does somebody in your life struggle with a short fuse or big feelings? Or maybe it's you who tend to get carried away with your anger and say or do things that you regret later and you're wanting some help. 877-573-7825.
I just want to go back to that last point you made about bringing our anger to God. A lot of us as Catholics think one of two things. One is, if we just say, Lord, just fix them, then we're bringing our anger to God. Or if we take our anger to confession, which is a great thing to do if you feel like you've fallen into, you know, either the sin of wrath or the sin of sloth with your anger, but then we just leave it there. And we don't take that next step that you were mentioning, which is saying, Lord, this is what's going on. What do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to interact with this person in a way that makes us both our best selves?
Amen. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father
and the Son,
and
the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence. We bring to you anger, our anger, the anger of other people, and we ask you to teach us to respond to it in ways that are appropriate and proportionate and productive, so that we can, even in times when we're angry or on the receiving end of someone else's anger, use those opportunities to build your kingdom, to see what is not according to your plan, and to cooperate with your grace to correct it and address it in ways that are, well, appropriate and proportionate and productive. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about anger on our show titled Don't Trip My Temper. Does somebody in your life have a short fuse or a big temper? Or maybe it's even you, and you want some help in not lashing out when you get upset. Well, either way, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to manage anger and the angry people in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with William, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, William. How can we help you out today?
Well, it's so good to talk with you again. My name's William. I'm calling from Murfreesboro, Illinois. And one of the things I did last time we spoke is I reached out to Catholic counselors. I'm working with the Department of Veteran Affairs so that I can receive Catholic counseling as I'm going through this seventh divorce with my wife.
Okay, let's back this up a second, William. One second here.
So the seventh divorce
from the same woman? Is that right?
Yes, she's filed. She has filed and withdrawn divorce seven times over, well, this is now the seventh time over 33 years of marriage.
Okay, so the divorce,
my wife was diagnosed
just so I want to be very clear on where you are on that continuum. So she has filed, you've never been legally divorced because she keeps pulling back from that over all these decades. Is that correct?
Correct. And that's very frustrating for our five children. And it's the anger that I have to temper, you know, with the sacraments and godly counsel. Because my wife was diagnosed with a manic depression, and when she becomes symptomatic, this is what we go through.
Okay. So how can we help you today, William?
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to reach out and talk about was the CatholicCounseling.com, because I did get connected with one of the people there, but they don't accept the VA payment, and so I was referred to the the Catholic Psychological Association, mm-hmm. but they're not a referral service, and so I'm still trying to get connected.
Yeah, no, Catholic Catholic Psychotherapy Association is actually a referral network. If you go to the website, I believe it's CatholicPsychotherapy.com. I believe it is, anyways. So, but the Catholic Psychotherapy Association actually is a referral network. So, if you can go, there and do a search based on your zip code for assistance. But I want to speak to this whole issue of your wife kind of filing. So you're saying that's one of the things that she does whenever she reacts, whenever she's in her manic phase. Obviously, getting her the proper care is going to be absolutely critical. But in terms of how do you respond to it, you need to recognize that that's not an actual action against your marriage. That's a specific manifestation of the mental illness, the bipolar disorder that she's experiencing. And really helping your kids even understand that, okay, look, this isn't indicative of your family falling apart. This is what happens when your mom is in this place. We need to kind of pray with her and support her, and but
work with her, her people, her healthcare people, to get her back into her balanced
place.
That's
right. But this isn't something that's going to threaten our overall stability of our family. It means that mom needs help getting stable again.
It feels like it is. It feels like that smoke alarm going off that we talked about a few minutes ago. But if you can start to say, how do we deal with this as the illness that it is? How can you, William, help your five children stay stable through this all and keep yourself in a place of how can I work with the healthcare providers to get my wife into a place where she's feeling more stable?
And this, by the way, is where family therapy is so important.
Yes.
Even when we're talking about an individual mental illness. Because the illness doesn't just happen inside the person. It plays out in our relationships. And so being able to attend counseling as a family and really talk about how the illness is affecting all of us and how we can work together to combat the illness is really a critical part of approach. When we talk about diagnoses like bipolar disorder or, even depression or anxiety, people tend to think, well, that's my problem, so I'm going to go talk to the psychiatrist, or I'm going to go get counseling. And that's a good step. But an even better step is when you can bring the people that you live with to that counseling process and really talk together about how the illness is affecting us and how we can work together to really move through that. My whole background is in family therapy
systems.
And how important it really is to approach problems in a systems way, that really shows us how everybody can pull together through it.
That would be true of any illness, William. If we were talking about a cancer diagnosis or something like that, the whole family needs to work through what they're going through together and how to deal with that. But with this diagnosis for your wife, we're talking very much about something that, because it is so outward, those emotions and that imbalance is expressed toward the whole life and the whole family structure, it really becomes crucial for you to all be in family therapy together so that you can get through this in a stronger and healthier way.
Well, thank you for the call, and I hope that these suggestions will give you a way to kind of think about that. And as I mentioned, as you look for your local resources, Catholic Psychotherapy Network, or Association, can provide those local services for you. But really approach it in the lens that we're talking about here. Thanks so much for the question. 877-573-7825. Today's show title, Don't Trip My Temper. As we talk about those times when we are dealing with somebody who is angry with us, or when our own anger causes us to lash out in ways that we regret, how do we have a healthier relationship with anger as Christians? 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll continue with your questions. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor and mental performance coach with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights on how we can respond in a productive way to our anger so we can find solutions instead of getting caught up in it. More with that and your questions when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, don't trip my temper. We're talking about anger and those people who have a short fuse or those times when our anger gets the best of us. How do we have a healthier relationship with anger? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor and mental performance coach with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our faith-based success and performance coaching practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So when you're working with your clients, how do you help them find the strength to use their anger to help them find solutions instead of getting caught up in that anger and feeling disempowered?
The problem with anger comes when we move from experiencing anger to letting anger take control of what happens next. So, because when anger takes over, it can honestly make us feel incredibly certain, right? I need to say this right now. They need to know exactly how I feel. I'm done. And in that moment, reacting can make us feel like we're expressing power. Yelling can feel powerful. Slamming the door can feel powerful. But there's a difference between feeling powerful and actually being empowered. Being empowered means I still have access to my ability to choose. I can feel something intensely without surrendering control of myself to that feeling. And that's a really important distinction from a brain-body perspective, because anger is activating. Our sympathetic nervous system kicks in, our heart rate increases, our muscles tense, and our body is preparing to do something. So it isn't inherently bad. Sometimes we need that energy. But the question is, what do I want to do with the energy that my anger is giving me? Because maybe your anger really is telling you that something needs to be addressed, but you don't have to address it the exact moment that your nervous system is most activated. One of the most empowering things that you can learn to do with anger is to create a little space between the feeling and the action. To say, I'm really angry right now. Lord, help me to understand why and help me to choose what to do with it. Emotional regulation doesn't mean making the feeling disappear. Regulation means getting yourself back into a state where you can choose what you want to do with the feeling. So when you notice yourself becoming angry, I really like to use just a simple three-part process. Regulate, get curious, and respond. Regulate your body, get curious about what it's telling you, and then decide what you want to do with it. So the goal isn't to never feel angry. The goal is to become free enough that your anger can inform you without controlling you.
I want to actually, you use that word freedom, and I want to actually speak to this. You know, the Christian idea of freedom is the ability to feel what we feel in the moment, but still choose to do what's right and what's productive, what's healthy, what moves us toward virtue.
As opposed to the worldly view of freedom, which is, I can do whatever I want, no matter how awful it is. So it's a very different mindset.
Yeah, but what you're talking about here is really being able to see anger as an energy that fuels that freedom to choose to do the right and healthy and appropriate and productive thing, as opposed to a fuel that burns everything down.
Absolutely. It invites us to work with God to restore right order. There's that difference between just anger and unjust anger, right? Like, we want to be able to operate in a way that helps us work with God. And again, we can use that energy, we can use that motivation, but when we use that freedom that we're called to, we're able to allow that righteous anger to help us seek restoration instead of getting spiraled into unrighteous anger that just sort of seeks destruction.
And the sin of wrath, I mean, that's really what that the difference is. It's not about being angry. Wrath isn't the sin of being angry. It's the sin of letting our anger add to the fire. And so when we can bring the anger to God, like you're talking about, and really put that little space between the feeling and the action, we can choose to let that anger motivate us toward healing and toward restoration. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. Rachel Isaac, pastoral counselor and mental performance coach with CatholicCounselors.com. She directs our success and performance coaching practice, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we are taking a break, but when we come back, more with your questions about your own anger and dealing gracefully with the angry people in your life. 877-573-7825. Stick around for more on anger when we come back.
We're our servants of prayer. The Christian family is the first place of education in prayer, says the Catholic Catechism. The family is the domestic church where children learn to pray and to persevere in prayer. Ordained ministers are also responsible for forming their brothers and sisters in prayer. Many in the religious life have consecrated their whole lives to prayer. The consecrated life is sustained by prayer and is one of the living sources of contemplation and spiritual life of the church. Catechesis aims to teach all members of the church to meditate on the Word of God in personal and liturgical prayer, internalizing it in order to bear fruit in a new life. Prayer groups and spiritual direction can also be powerful tools in the practice of prayer. A spiritual director should be chosen with great care, for as St. John of the Cross warns, as the master is, so will the disciple be. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you asked yourself, what's one small thing I could do to show my spouse I love them today? Just because. Not for an anniversary, not to make up for a fight, just to say, I see you, and you matter to me. If you can't quite remember, you're not alone, and you're not a bad spouse. Life just gets loud, and our marriages tend to be the thing that quietly waits in the background. In my book, For Better Forever, I help couples discover that a great marriage isn't built on grand gestures. It's built on the small, daily choices to love each other a little better than you did yesterday. Now, here's one to try tonight. Before you go to sleep, tell your spouse one specific thing you appreciate about them. Not just, I love you, but
I love how you handled that thing with our daughter today. It tells your spouse you're paying attention and that you're grateful they chose to share their life with you. For more tips on making your marriage everything God wants it to be, check out For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, don't trip my temper. We're talking about those times when we are struggling either with our own anger or with angry people. How do we find grace-filled ways to respond to those feelings and those people? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next question, we have another great EWTN radio affiliate celebrating an anniversary. The Stations of the Cross, with 19 stations serving New York, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Ohio for an amazing 27 years.
Congratulations to Jim Wright and his team at the Stations of the Cross from your friends here at EWTN Radio. And wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers and with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so that we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more joyful, faithful, and abundant life. With that, we're taking your questions at 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us your questions via email to questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Which Katie did. She's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. She said, my six-year-old melts down over everything, and if he doesn't get what he wants, a snack before dinner, one more show, a toy at the store, he doesn't just cry. He goes into a full temper tantrum that can last 45 minutes. I've tried getting down on his level, helping him name his feelings the way all the parenting articles say to. I've tried taking away privileges. I've tried walking away. Nothing seems to help. By the end of the day, I'm exhausted and honestly a little scared of my own son's moods. Am I doing something wrong? And is there a way to actually help him get control of this? And remember, this little guy is six.
Yes, Katie, thank you so much for the question. So, yes, there's a lot you can do. Let's focus on that. So, what you're describing, okay, is pretty common, actually, with kids. Because an important developmental skill is learning self-regulation. Now, in the first four or five-ish years, even up to six, kids don't have a lot of capacity for that, because our ability to self-regulate depends a lot on our capacity for self-talk, right? Our ability to kind of say, okay, Greg, it's going to be fine. I got this, you know, right? Talk myself through it.
And we might think that our children have that when we start to see them do make-believe play, when they're in their heads and, you know, one dinosaur is talking to the other dinosaur, you're thinking, okay, they've got language, they can do this. It is not the same thing as being able to talk through feelings internally.
Now, say before six, because kids have a limited capacity for self-talk, they're very reliant on mom and dad to calm them down. And so a lot of the parenting advice that parents get is true for managing feelings, is true for littler kids, because they really do need your help. You know, having basically your body download your calmer feelings, you know, your slower heart rate, your respiration into their bodies.
Yes, and a lot of that advice also, when it talks about naming their feelings, is building up a bank of feeling words so that they can learn self-talk. But that takes time, just like building up any bank account takes time. So we can't expect them to hear us say, you're angry, or you're sad, or you're hurt, and then they suddenly can process that all and have their own self-talk and fix themselves.
But once self-talk does come online, even in a limited way, say starting at 5, 6, 7, that's where kids can actually pour gas on their own fire, and our ability to just calm them down by holding them and comforting them and, you know, those kinds of gestures that used to work in toddlerhood and early childhood, those things don't work as well anymore. Because the whole time we're trying to calm the kid down, they're saying, you're unfair and life is awful and everybody hates me. And I, you know, so they start called, you know, the victim self-talk, right? And so what we have to do is really give kids the space to start working through some of this stuff on their own. Not entirely on their own, but we're creating a structure where we're transitioning them from calming them down with our bodies to helping them calm their bodies down. So let's walk through that process, okay? And you have to get all the way through this. This is my other qualifier, because if you stop without him getting control of his feelings first before you guys move on, he's going to come to believe that the only reason he's ever in trouble for anything is because you're mad at him, not because he ever did anything wrong. You have to help him come to a place of awareness, but that only comes once the kid has actually calmed down and become cooperative again. So you have to go through all these steps. So the first part in this process is to try to give him a chance in the moment to work things out with you, right? So you can empathize and say, hey, look, I'm really sorry that you're upset about this. I get it. You know, it's hard to not get what you want. That, you know, that's part of life, but I'm sorry that you're feeling that way. Now, and then you redirect toward solutions. What do we need to do about this? What's something that we can do to address this? Chances are that won't work at first, because there's this pattern now where he gets ramped up and you guys just get caught up into this, and he really believes that if he can just keep the emotional storm going, eventually he'll get what he wants. But you have to go through these steps anyway, because this is how he learns not to go through the whole thing. You're giving him the opportunity up front, right? So empathize first, then redirect toward solutions. When that doesn't work, the next thing is to give him a choice and say, look, I want to help you to calm down and move forward. But I can only do that if you're willing to cooperate with me.
Right.
So can we work through this together? Or do you need time to yourself to calm down?
So you're giving him that twofold question. You're saying, we can do this together. I'm not walking out on you. Or do you need time to calm down? So again, you're not walking out on him. You're not leaving him isolated. He's choosing, I think I can do this on my own with a little quiet time. Or I don't think I can, so I really would like you, my parent, to stay around and walk me through this. It's not an endless array of choices. It's a choice of how he's going to get to where he needs to get emotionally.
And you let his behavior be the answer, mm-hmm. right? It's not what he says. It's how he acts. Is he acting cooperative then? Does he calm down enough to actually let you help him? Or is he still fighting you? In which case, he needs to go and have basically a timeout where he's by himself, not forever, but you know, you check on him every 6 minutes or so and see how he's doing. But he can't move on. He can't come out of that place until move on with his life. That's
yeah.
the other thing. It's like, you know, sometimes parents have a hard time keeping a child in the place. At the very least, don't let him move on to anything else in his life, mm-hmm. or do anything else.
That includes playing, meals, going to practice, whatever those things are. You're just like, hey, this is more important than anything else. We're going to get through this first.
So when he's finally cooperative and willing to work with you, whether that's before all this or after it, the steps you're going to go through, number one, he needs to be able to tell you what he did. What was the problem, right? Number two, he needs to be able to apologize for it sincerely, right? I'm really, and you'll know the difference between sorry and I'm really sorry.
Every parent knows the difference.
So you have to wait until you get to that, and that's number two. Number three, then he either has to tell you or you can talk through what he could have done appropriately to express those feelings or to express that need or express that frustration. You talk through it. Number four, you rehearse it. Every parent forgets this. You have to actually role play it so that if you want it to get into his muscle memory so he can remember to do it the next time, you have to actually role play the situation.
Yeah, because just the words very much become those very old, and if you haven't seen it because you're not of that generation, look it up on YouTube so you have this image in your head, this sound in your head. The old Peanuts cartoons, whenever there was an adult in the room, whether it was a teacher or a parent, the only voice we were hearing as viewers and the kids were supposedly hearing was wah, 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 wah. If you don't practice how you do this differently, how he can do it differently the next time, that's all he's got, is just, we made a lot of noise about stuff. Eventually mommy wasn't mad at me anymore and we moved on. I don't really know why. I don't know what to do. The practice lets him own it and have that skill to use, not just the next time, but for the rest of his life. You're really teaching skills that he needs now, but that he'll use in adulthood as well. So it's worth the investment.
The last step, so that was four steps. So the fifth step, and this is optional, and it kind of depends on the seriousness of the situation, but it's a good idea to kind of include it, which is making a repair. What's he going to do to try to show the person that he hurt, that he was sorry. And this doesn't have to be a grand thing. I mean, it could be, I'm going to give them a hug, or it could be, I'm going to write them a note, or it could be, I'm going to do a chore for them, or I'm going to, whatever
it
is.
Play their game. But again, it doesn't have to be some grandiose, you know, I'm going to flog myself for 3 days. It just has to be an overture of reparation.
And it should be, but it does need to be sincere. Right? Yes. It's not just, well, okay, fine, I'll give you a hug. You know, it has to be sincere, whatever it is. So that fifth step of making a repair. Now, when you walk him through this process, this whole thing is really teaching him that it is okay to express his feelings, but at some point he has to accept that, well, your decision is final, and he has to kind of get a handle on himself and learn how to express himself appropriately and move forward. That and nothing else is more important, right? So if he has to miss a game, or if he has to, you know, miss a family activity, or he has to, because you guys are working through this, you work through it and you see it all the way through. The one piece that has me a little concerned in your email is where you talk about you feeling a little afraid of your son's moods. I get that, and you know, sometimes we can go to that place. But if you really feel that persistently, then it's time to seek some family counseling to really learn how to reclaim your strength. Because if parents give the kid the idea that they're afraid of their kid's moods, then the kids feel like nobody can control me, nobody can help me. My feelings are too big for me. My feelings are even too big for my parents. So I'm all alone, and that terrifies them, and it escalates them even further.
Yeah, it will definitely escalate their emotional temperature even further, and it will also over time make the situation much worse. You know, right now your son is 6. If you don't deal with this in the way that we've been talking about and get your feelings about being afraid of his emotions under control, if you need counseling to help you do that, you don't want to see the person who has been left to deal with this at 6 with their feelings at 16 or 20 or beyond. That's when you really do become afraid of what those feelings are going to be like, because they're bigger feelings and a stronger person. So this is the time to say, is God trying to heal something in me? Do I need to get some counseling so I can heal something that's going on and become the mom God's calling me to become? Or if I do these steps, will I just be able to work this out on my own? Because I was just feeling overwhelmed because I didn't have the skills, and now I do.
Yeah. So if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for the more personalized, faithful support. If you'd like, you can also sign up for the Catholic HOM app. It's Catholic Households on Mission. It's what it stands for. And we provide parent coaching and tons of creative resources to help Catholic parents really build strong, loving, caring, connected domestic churches. So check it out wherever you get your apps, Catholic HOM, Households on Mission, or the more personalized pastoral counseling support at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks again for the question, Katie. You know where to find us if you need us. 877-573-7825 is our number to call with your questions about anger and the angry people in your life. If you are tired of walking on eggshells around somebody, not sure how to address a hot topic between you and someone you care about, or not sure how to get a handle on your own emotional reactions when you get angry, and ended up doing and saying things that you regret, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20.
Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God.
Now, here James is not saying don't ever get angry about anything. He's saying basically what Rachel was talking about in her segment. Excuse me. And what it is it's really about having that freedom to choose how to use the energy of anger instead of just letting my anger carry me along. So James is reminding us to be slow to speak, to really be slow to anger and bring that anger to God and ask him to teach us how to respond so that we can accomplish the righteousness of God.
What I really love about this very wise, you know, sort of passage. Do this passage from John, but this, like, this is how you handle this, guys, is now in the modern times, we have all of these, you know, medical studies, these biological studies that'll tell us how to help calm our anger. That if we take that deep breath, if we don't speak right away, if we give ourselves a moment to calm down, our thinking brain will come back online and we will be able to handle it better. Well, here John was James was thousands of years ahead of us and knew exactly how to do this because God was letting him know how to accomplish the righteousness of God. Be quick to hear, but slow to anger, slow to speak, because the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. So give yourself that permission to take that moment because it's a directive from Scripture.
All right. When we come back, more with Don't Trip My Temper as we talk about anger today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Back with your questions after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Don't Trip My Temper. So we talk about anger and the angry people in our life. Does someone in your life have a temper that keeps you walking on eggshells? You know, whether it's your spouse, your teen, a parent, coworker, sometimes you just never know what's going to set them off. Do you keep having the same blow up over and over again and wish that you could finally break that cycle? Or maybe you're the one with the short fuse and you're tired of saying or doing those things in the heat of the moment that you regret later.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you even take your anger to confession over and over and over again, but you don't know what to do when it comes back up again and you're tired of having to go and tell Father that you're dealing with it one more time. And you're thinking, okay, listening to EWTN Radio, it's time to get some skills to deal with this anger. Let us help you with it today at 877-573-7825.
All right, with that, let's. Who's our next person up?
This email is from Tom, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. He says, my wife and I had an argument the other day. She told me that I was being too hard on the kids. At first, I didn't know what she meant. I felt like she was criticizing my parenting, but I saw her point by the end. I tend to yell when the kids have done something wrong, and I don't notice how quiet or upset the kids get. Rather than actually teaching them anything, I just tend to make a lot of noise and expect them to do better. I never really saw it that way before, but she is right. In fact, my own father had a temper like this, and I never wanted to be like him with the kids. How can I stop lashing out when my kids act up? What should I do instead? And that's from Tom, listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Tom, thanks for the question. You know, most of us actually learn to use anger as a motivator. And a lot of us grew up in households where that's how our parents parented us. They got angry, they blew up, and then everybody kind of runs around trying to fix whatever it was that might have been the thing that made, you know, the big angry monster speak up.
No, and honestly, I remember growing up into, like, teenagehood, and there'd be that big explosion from my mother. She was never physical about it, but she'd get very angry and yell. And then she'd, like, go off to her room or something to calm down. And when I could hear her getting ready to come down, I would say to my sister, okay, are we going to talk about this now? And she's like, don't talk about it. Just let it go away. If you don't say anything, she won't say anything, and it'll all be fine. And none of us ever, like, healed those wounds or knew what we were supposed to do differently. So the fact that the kids see you explode, don't learn anything, don't get that resolve, both you and your children are getting really frustrated by this.
So I think that it's about really reminding yourself that anger isn't a motivator. It's not the thing, it's not the tool that you use to change other people. You know, anger is that smoke alarm we were talking about in the reflection that reminds us or calls our attention to something that's not working the way it should. But it's not meant to be used on somebody else. It calls our attention to the issue. And you know, I appreciate that you have the humility and the insight to be able to say, you know, I sort of see myself through my wife's eyes and I get what she's talking about. And I also see what I should be doing here. You know, you're talking about I should be doing more teaching and supporting, you know, creating structure so that my kids can actually succeed at stuff instead of just kind of yelling at them. So so I'm not going to focus on that part there about the discipline piece, but just focusing more internally on recognizing that, okay, my intention, the intention of this part of me that yells at my kids is that I learned that anger is a tool that I can use to change other people's behavior. And that's really, that's not what it's for. So being able to say, look, I've got better ways to help my kids learn to behave. You know, I can walk them through the steps of things. So you feel that flash of anger and you recognize, okay, something's wrong. You know, something is not the way I wish it was in my family or that God wants our family
wants
to
for
be.
Us, as our family.
So then you bring it to Him first. Okay, you take that deep breath. Okay, Lord, help me be the parent that you want me to be for my kid right now. And really help me be curious enough to wonder why they're doing what they're doing and then be helpful enough to teach them how to do that thing in a more virtuous way. That's what we call discipleship discipline. It's all about not just yelling at bad behavior or shutting bad behavior down, but really identifying the godly intention behind that behavior and then teaching the child a healthy and virtuous way to express that intention. That's how we learn that making mistakes is safe and that we can learn from our mistakes and we can admit when we're wrong and we can be grateful for the help that people offer us.
We also learn trust in our family when our parents can take that pause, calm their own anger, and move on to what do we have to do differently? How can we do this together? How can we practice this so you're doing the healthy, holy thing instead of your reactive behavior that's making me mad in the first place? So everybody, child and parent, grow in virtue by working through discipleship discipline rather than just reactive.
And this is the kind of thing we coach parents on the Catholic Home app every day. That's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on a Mission. So if you'd like more kind of casual coaching support, you can download the app wherever you get your apps. It's, again, Catholic HOM, Catholic Households on a Mission. Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches are on there to help parents apply the principles we're talking about. And we also have a ton of creative resources to help families live what we call the liturgy of domestic church life, which can transform a busy, crazy, messy, you know,
chaotic
family into
family.
A dynamic domestic church, a loving, caring, connected household on mission. So check it out, Catholic HOM. And thanks for the question. Again, Tom, I really want to applaud your humility and your willingness to hear what your wife was saying, your desire to be, you know, a more godly parent for your kids. I think that your heart is in the right place, and I know that you can run with this if you just really recognize that anger isn't meant to be used as a tool to change other people's behavior. It's an alarm that calls our attention to something that needs to be responded to, but then we need to walk through that step by step.
And the wonderful thing about doing it this way is anger often makes us think like we're powerful. You know, I can do this. I'm more powerful than my feelings, than the situation, than this other person. But when we do this and we have an eye toward, how we're going to disciple ourselves and that other person into a relationship and into behavior that works and benefits us to both be our best selves, things can really change. God comes into it, and our power actually grows. So it's a beautiful way to live.
And if you need more support in dealing with your own anger effectively, or the angry people in your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, professional life, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.